Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this broadcast. And we're going through Lamentations at this time. We ended up in, about Lamentations chapter 1. And verse, 20. Behold, Yahuwah. And of course, we're reading out of the Authorized King James Version here. And I'm using the eSword in case anyone wants to know. And looking at the eSword, we get the Hebrew Greek letters, and so far it says 3068 for O Lord here, and other times it said the Lord. It had the Adonai. So Jeremiah seems to be going back and forth between the name of the Creator, the 3068 Yahuwah, and Adonai. Behold, O Lord, Yahuwah, for I am in distress. And of course, we have Jeremiah here in the Lamentation, personifying Judah, Jerusalem, Israel, the nation, basically speaking as a voice. We talk about the mouth of the beast. Well, I guess Jeremiah here would be a mouth for Israel at that time, what was left of it. Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled, meaning I feel sick to my stomach. That's how we would put that today. Mine heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Abroad the sword bereaveth. At home there is death. The recognition of falling into sin, admitting, confessing that sin. I have grievously rebelled. And that's really what the nation needs to do. The nation I live in, they need to. We've grievously sinned. But do they want to? No, the homosexuality agenda just continues to grow. And it amazes me that something so small, and I'm not saying that the sin is a small thing, but as far as a part of the population that, they say perhaps 1-2% of the people are actually homosexuals, sodomites that actually practice this lifestyle. But through schooling, putting all of the children in the public temples to be schooled like little fish in a fishbowl, so they all swim together. They teach them all the lie that it's just an alternative lifestyle. It's not sinful. It's a choice. That's right. It's like killing your child is a choice. So they teach them it's a choice. So people sin and they become guilty of the sin by assent or by taking pleasure in those things that other people do. By standing up for their rights to sin, you become one of them. You become guilty of it. So it's not just 2%. It's all of those out there that say, oh, it's just fine. Ha, ha, ha. Laugh at the cute little gay people on the TV. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, it's so funny. Let's make jokes about it. Yeah, you're participants now. You're just going along with it. You've learned to swim with all of the other little fish in the fishbowl. That's right. You've been schooled. There you go. And that's why you believe a lie. And you believe, oh, it's a choice. It's not a sin. It's a choice. But yeah, we need to say it. We have grievously rebelled. We have sinned. We have rebelled against his commandment. That's where repentance begins. Admitting that we've sinned against the Almighty. But they're not ready yet. They're kind of enjoying their slavery. You got people going down, signing up. Hey, this is great. I can get free food. Give me food stamps, oh, great government. That's right. Send me a check every month. Yeah, I don't have to work anymore. Enjoy, join the new social order. Apply for your benefits from the beast. Now, don't worry. There's still a few people out there working that they can steal from. They can steal the labors of those that are working and producing that food and for you to eat. That's right. Take advantage of it. Claims are down. Yeah, that's because, because everybody's already on or their claims have run out. I called for my lovers, but they deceived me. My priests and mine elders gave up the ghost in the city while they sought their meat to relieve their souls. Behold, O Lord, Yahuwah, for I am in distress, and my bowels are troubled. I'm sick to my stomach. My heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. And you know what? That's how you should feel. When the realization comes upon you that what you're doing, that you have grievously rebelled, that you're living in sin, you have rebelled against his commandment, you should feel sick to your stomach. Maybe you'll repent. The sword bereaveth. At home there is death. Abroad the sword bereaveth. At home there is death. That one fits. Sending the young men over to die in Afghanistan. I guess that's abroad the sword bereaveth. At home there is death. They have heard that I sigh, and there is none to comfort me. All mine enemies have heard of my trouble, and they are glad that thou hast done it. Thou wilt bring the day that thou hast called, and they shall be like unto me. That means the other nations laugh. Oh, they jumped for joy when they saw the towers fall. And they laugh at the calamity of America, and they jump for joy. But their day is coming too. Remember that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Judgment begins at the house of Yahuwah. So where his name was, where they followed him in America, like I said, rose up in the wilderness much, there's a parallel there. You know, Israel rose up in the wilderness. America rose up in the wilderness. And Israel received the law of God, and they started out, with the judges, with the government he gave them. And it took them 40 years to learn it in the wilderness, though, to be unlearned from Egypt. But they learned it. And then they turned away. It's funny how history just repeats itself over and over. It seems to be nothing you can do about it because, we only live a short time, and everybody seems to forget what went on before, and they don't seem to pay very much attention to history. So they keep repeating the same errors over and over. America rose up in the wilderness out of the earth. Remember, the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed the flood that the dragon sent after the woman. So many people from Europe, under the persecution of Rome, of the Holy Roman Empire, and all of her daughters, fled to the Americas and received that relief there. And then this nation rose up, founded on godly principles, but yet turned away eventually. And here we are today, some 200 years later, 200 plus years later, totally gone backward. But the scripture reveals that America, the second beast, will stand to the end. So if judgment comes, it's going to come here. And it's going to come to our own shore. And it's a long time coming, I'm going to tell you. But I think it's because that there is a good remnant in America of those that are righteous. And there's a lot of good that has been done in this land by the remnant that remains righteous to him. But we can see now that the remnant is becoming few in the nation. And I believe that's the only reason, is because of the righteous in America. Let's face the facts. They're the ones who have stayed the hand of the Almighty and have kept the judgment to what it is. Will sword come? Will famine and pestilence follow? I believe it will. I'm not sure about that. I hope not. Never want to see it. But if that's what it takes for people to turn back, then that's what must be. I believe that it is coming. I believe that it will be limited because of the remnant, the righteous remnant that is in this land. I don't know how many there are. In Israel's time, the prophet lamented that none would listen, but he said, I have yet 7,000, in a nation of millions. Now we have hundreds of millions. 7,000 was a fairly small number. I don't know what the number would be in America today when we have 300 million people, 300 plus million people in the land. Only the Almighty knows. So I'm out here trying to talk as many people into to entering into his kingdom, his holy nation as possible. And perhaps we can stay or have the judgment, the sword and the famine and the pestilence that is coming, to have it be limited. And I believe it will be limited, because I see that America as a nation, the second beast, stands until the Messiah returns. But it turns its power over to the dragon, because it begins to speak like a dragon. And it causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive the mark of the first beast and to worship the image. So it becomes a tool. That's the fate of America in prophecy. It becomes a tool of the beast, the first beast, that rules the whole world. And it rules it through that image that the second beast created to the first beast. And I believe that is the United Nations. So the United Nations has its role. And it's inarguable, because the first beast, being Rome, ruled the world. The image of the beast would be an image of a beast that rules the world, you know? And that's what the United Nations is meant for, to rule the world. So it's an image of the first beast, created by the second beast, America. Plain enough. A lot of people laugh at it, and they think, well, you know, the United Nations is what it is, and it doesn't really have any power, but things can change. You know, we've got some time to go here. I don't believe in the 7-year tribulation deception. That's all a deception. I can't find that in the scripture. I know the scriptures they build it on, but it's false prophecy. Let's continue here in Lamentations. Oh, where did we leave off? Verse 21, they have heard that I sigh and none to comfort me. All mine enemies have heard of my trouble. They are glad that thou hast done it. Thou wilt bring the day that thou hast called, and they shall be like unto me. So, and that was true. That's exactly what happened. The Creator, the Almighty, judged his own nation, the Yahudi, Judah, first. And then he used Babylon as his sword in judgment. Jeremiah proclaimed it openly and notoriously that the Almighty used Babylon as his sword in judgment against his own people. Then he turned and he used Babylon to judge all the nations around, and said, yeah, they shall be like unto me. So he used Babylon. Then finally he judged Babylon. And this judgment on nations against nations has gone on throughout history. And for the last 2,000 years, he's ruled the nations with a rod of iron. If you can figure out what the iron is, yes, the Roman Empire, in its various forms and mutations throughout the last 200 years, the Heavenly Father has used as a rod of iron in his hand to keep the nations in check and to keep them from getting out of hand, using one tribe to judge another. He has kept the nations in check, using the nations, the Roman Empire, in all of its forms in the last 2,000 years as a rod in his hand to rule the nations. A little more understanding of Bible prophecy there for you. Behold, O Lord, Yahuwah. Okay, we read that. Let all their wickedness come before thee. So now Jeremiah calling on their wickedness to come before him too. Let all their wickedness come before thee, and do unto them as thou hast done unto me for all my transgressions, for my sighs are many, and my heart is faint. So we get our primer here, our understanding of how the Heavenly Father dwells with nations through Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Lamentations, and just open up your history books. It's all there. You put this, what we're learning, how the Heavenly Father deals with nations, and you keep that in view when you're reading history, and his hand is clearly seen, regardless of how man looks at it, and they look at all their details and the, you know, all of how it affects them and all of that. But when you apply these principles to history, his hand is clearly seen. And he laid it all out for us. He told us in advance what would happen, what nation would rise. Did he not do it? Is he not doing it? he is. We're in Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 1. How hath the Lord, and here he uses the Adonai, the 136. How hath Adonai, the Lord, covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger, and has cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel. You know, and that's what I'm talking about. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and I sit in heavenly places in Yahushua, in the King, Messiah. I sit in heavenly places. And these words I got from Paul in his epistles when he said, I am seated in heavenly places in Messiah, in Christ Jesus, it says in the Authorized King James Version. So what does it mean to be cast down from heaven? You lose your seating. You lose your seat in heaven because you voluntarily leave off his law, his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, and you start walking in licentiousness, worshiping the beast and its image, placing the law of the beast and its image above the law of God. That's what it means to worship the beast. And the next thing you know, you got a number and you're a slave to the system. That's right, because you worship the beast in its image. Let's understand what this terminology means in the scripture. It's clear. I can't make it any clearer. If you can't understand it, well, you're probably not listening to this program, and you'll never understand it because your eyes are open, are not open, and you're blinded to the truth of what's going on around you, and you're trusting in the arm of the flesh. And many of you looking into the Occupy and the Get Rid of the Fed and the whole truther movement perchance might come over and hear a program like this, and the truth will register, and you'll start looking into the, maybe that Bible, maybe that book isn't fantasy. Maybe I've been lied to. You know, the lies are abundant. You know, actually the Bible is the most accurate history book in the history of mankind. It's the only book that has a chronology from the beginning to today. And it gives you dating too, that lands you into our common Roman era calendar. So you can even figure out what year it is. Perhaps the earth is not quite 6,000 years old yet. Perhaps we're just approaching 6,000 years. Perhaps the Bible is true. Perhaps it hasn't been millions of years. They keep pulling up the fallacies. Did you know that the sun is growing smaller every year? And that a million years ago, the sun would have been touching the earth. And did you know that the moon's orbit is decaying? Or is it getting, it's decaying. The moon is getting further away every year. Do you know what that means? That millions of years ago, that the moon would have been hitting the dinosaurs in the head, as Ken Hovind says. Now we know what happened to the dinosaurs. Why they became extinct according to evolution. They got mooned. Because the moon is moving. Everything falls away when you're in the light of the truth. You know, it's like evolution. Well, tell me, how did man and woman evolve separately? And how did they last millions of years until their organs became compatible so they could procreate? I mean, right there, gender. You know, our Heavenly Father created gender just to throw out evolution. To put it on its head, it can't work. You can't have gender and evolution because each gender would have had to evolve separately. And while they were evolving separately, they couldn't procreate. How does that work? It doesn't work. It's all a lie. So many lies they teach you in the public fool system millions of years ago. Yeah, so you can see the false prophets. You can spot them right away because they start talking about 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 years ago. They don't believe in the Bible. If they believed it, well, there's, like I said, you don't believe me, there's a clear chronology. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and look for I have a post there entitled, What Year Is It? And we go from the scripture and we show you exactly, well, approximately what year it is. I'd say it's within a year or so. You know, it's within a couple of years of what year it really is from creation. And we're just now approaching 6,000 years you know, about 60 years to go before we complete 6,000 years and we begin the seventh millennium. Yeah, go there, take a look at that, crosstheborder.org. Okay, we're in Lamentations chapter 2. Looks like this is going to be a two-day study. I've got five chapters here to go, and we're on our second day. How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger and cast down from heaven to the earth the beauty of Israel. Yes, don't be cast down from heaven, the kingdom of heaven. We sit in heavenly places. There's only one way to be cast down from heaven, and that is to start ignoring the law of the Almighty. So we've covered that. Remember not his footstool in the days of his anger. The Lord has swallowed up all the inhabitants of Jacob and hath not pitied. He hath thrown down his wrath, in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah, and hath brought them down to the ground. He hath polluted the kingdom of the princes thereof. He hath cut off his fierce anger, all in his fierce anger, all the horn of Israel. And the horn is, of course, the horn of power. That is, was their power. All the horn of Israel. He hath drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. He hath burned against Jacob like a flaming fire, which devoureth round about. He hath bent his bow like an enemy. He hath stood with his right hand as an adversary and slew all that were pleasant to the eye in the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He poured out his fury like fire. Can you see it coming to America? That he's going to slay all that were pleasant to the eye in the tabernacle? Yes, and what is their high place? Like Hollywood, you know, where they have all that is pleasant to the eye. It may be a pleasure to watch that fall. I'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border.